The Public News Service Daily Newscast, September the 20th, 2022. I'm Mike Clifford. We are now 50 days out from the 2020 midterms. Advocates are encouraging folks in Ohio to not only learn about candidates on the ballot, but also the importance of the offices that they wish to hold.
Colin Morazzi with the ACLU of Ohio explains that state and local officials have a much bigger impact on the daily lives of voters than many high-profile federal leaders. So it's important to understand the types of decisions they'll be making. He uses the state auditor as an example.
It's not a very flashy position. And in all honesty, the biggest role the state auditor plays is to investigate corruption and public malfeasance. But another equally important function is to be one of the seven map drawers for state and congressional legislative districts.
The governor, attorney general, and chief Supreme Court justice are just a few of the key stakeholders who will be elected by Ohio voters on November 8th. To help give voters a clearer picture, the ACLU of Ohio has created a Power Of video series, which defines the scope of the duties for certain political offices, as well as the unique powers and privileges. Learn more at acluohio.org. Mary Sherman reporting.
Advocates for child well-being are in the nation's capital today. They're calling on lawmakers to invest in kids. More on that story from Eric Tegedoff.
The Save the Children Advocacy Summit is gathering folks from around the country today to speak with members of Congress. They're focused on early childhood education and child hunger. Suzette Espinoza-Cruz is a senior early learning education specialist with the City of Seattle and volunteer advocate with Save the Children. She supported a mutual aid campaign in her community to deliver meals to kids during the pandemic. Espinoza-Cruz says the pandemic's effects linger.
Unfortunately, the inequity gaps that we saw in the dark times of COVID and the food insecurity that existed during the pandemic continues today. But legislation can help improve the livelihoods of kids and families.
Espinoza-Cruz says she's meeting with Washington Senators Patty Murray and Maria Cantwell and Seattle Congressman Adam Smith.
And the New York Times calls it a remarkable reversal. Adnan Syed walked out of prison on Monday for the first time since he was a teenager, having spent 23 years fighting his conviction on charges he murdered his former high school girlfriend. You may know this case because it was chronicled in the first season of the hit podcast Serial. The judge in the case vacated the conviction in the interest of justice and fairness, finding that prosecutors had failed to turn over evidence that could have helped Syed at his trial and discovered new evidence that could have affected the outcome of the case. This is PNS. Today is National Voter Registration Day, and one Native American rights organization in Montana is ensuring people are ready to vote in November. Natanya O'Neill with Western Native Voices says her group has been working in communities to check folks' registration status. She says this will make it easier on November the 8th.
They have all of the information that they need. They're prepared, they've got their identification with them, and they know that they are able to vote. With the changes in the laws last year, it is a learning curve for a lot of people.
In 2021, Montana lawmakers passed legislation that affected voter registration. One measure tightened voter ID laws so that people who are registering with a student ID, for instance, need a secondary form of identification. And ahead of Banned Books Week, the ACLU of Texas published what it calls a student's right hub.
Attorney Kate Huddleston argues Texas school districts have become increasingly unwelcome and even hostile to LGBTQ, Black, Indigenous, Brown, and religious minority students. She says the hub, which provides information about students' rights, is necessary because certain Texas politicians are trying to ban books and implement policies that target marginalized students.
It currently is worse in Texas. We are really at the epicenter right now of an effort to restrict students' access to ideas.
Banned Books Week highlights challenges to books in schools, bookstores, and libraries. I'm Roz Brown.
The American Library Association did a survey. They found 71% of Americans oppose efforts to remove books from public libraries. Finally, Mike Mullen lets us know a South Dakota education panel has kicked off the public hearing phase in the state's latest effort to update social studies standards.
In August, the state released proposed revisions for teaching history and civics, a year after the process was paused over the last-minute removal of several Native American references. A new but smaller working group drafted this year's plan, led by an official from a conservative college in Michigan. Andrea Stanishek, a teacher from Yankton, says there was little representation from certified educators.
The proposed standards committee only had 15 members, three of whom had current teaching certificates. That's 20%. As you consider these standards, please ask yourself whether South Dakota values its teachers' expertise.
Other teachers say the proposed revisions focus too much on memorization of facts without much room for analysis. Supporters, including some parent activists, say there should be a greater emphasis on certain points, arguing too many Americans lack basic civics knowledge.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We're heard on radio stations Big and Small, your favorite podcast platform, and find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.